Welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here with my mate, Phil Smith.
G'day, mate.
How are you, man?
Yeah, great. Good as always. Ready to go.
That's good. What are we digging into today?
Well, we're talking about hiring, man. It's one of the biggest frustrations, I think, for growing trades businesses. Like, you know, you run ads, get average applicants, you hire someone, they don't perform, or worse, best people leave and you're back to square one. And you start thinking things like, you know, there's no one out there, no good workers, or young blokes don't want to work anymore, I'll just do it myself. But, you know, truth is, great people do exist. They're just not choosing you at the moment. So we're digging into that. And how we can do better.
Yeah, well, most business owners think that hiring, you know, great people is about actually going out and finding them, but it's not. The real secret, and this is the real little point of distinction, is that great people aren't found, they're attracted. You know, you attract them to your businesses, and most businesses are actually doing a better job at repelling the A players than they actually are doing at attracting them.
So they turn the magnet the other way around.
That's right. It's not a magnet at all.
No. Well, it is, but if you turn it around, yeah, it does the opposite.
That's right. Yeah. It's a lot of stuff that you may not even think about. And I guess the key point that we want to dig into today is that hiring is a key plank of success. It's about strategy, and we have to think differently about it. And how we attract the people is the key. How do we become like the honeypot that they want to actually come to, rather than trying to cajole them or, you know, perform some feat of magic to get them to say yes. We want them just to say yes and come because they know that it's a great place to work.
Yeah, well, if you could perform magic, that'd be great. But unfortunately, we're going to have to resort to strategy.
Yeah. Nothing like a good piece of strategy.
Yeah, that's right. Well, strategy's the key, mate. Now, why don't we talk about what we do here? Because I think we do a pretty good job of this, dude.
Yeah, look, we only hire winners here, and here's the thing that really blew my mind the other day. I was talking to David, who's our chief of recruitment, and he said, we never have people who turn down a job offer here. We've never had someone say no. He just can't remember someone saying no to our job offer.
Well, you can't remember it because it hasn't happened.
That's not because, you know, necessarily we pay the most, although we pay well. It's not because we're lucky. It's because we do some stuff that really makes this a no-brainer for someone to work here. It's massive because so many people, they get a good person, then they've got to try and, again, perform feats of magic to actually get them to say yes. Then you're on the back foot and you're begging, and it's just not a good situation.
Or even worse, you get that kind of thing where the person, you know, they say yes immediately and then they go tell their boss, and the boss says, well, I'll give you another dollar an hour, and they go, okay, cool, and they stay where they were.
Yeah, or they use you to price shop their wage.
Well, yeah, their existing employer.
Yeah, which is terrible. So, I mean, the people that come to us at Profitable Trader, they've seen our brand, they've felt the professionalism, they've experienced the process, they want in. It's not really about recruitment, it's about attraction, it's about marketing, it's about sales and being professional. So most contractors and tradies, what they're doing is they're running a Gumtree ad or an Indeed ad or a Seek ad. What we're actually doing and what the winners are actually doing is running a full-blown marketing campaign for hiring. Mm. It's a completely different thing, and there's a whole lot more detail for it that we really need to dig into.
Yeah, well, I'm excited, man. And I mean, I think the thing is, if we don't do this right, you know, if you're running your trades business and you're not doing this, then you're going to run into some issues.
Yeah, well, you rely on whoever applies. So, you know, you're taking the best of a bad bunch. Your ads attract low quality performers, you know, the serial job hunters, the people who are experts at interviews because they have so many. They should spend more time actually working on being good at their craft. Than getting a job.
They are good at their craft, man. Their craft is interviews.
Yeah, which is hoodwinking employers around hiring them. You end up acting, you know, hiring reactively. You take the best of a bad bunch. You settle for good enough. Your team doesn't refer anyone. It's not a great place. Like, there's no buzz. And you just burn time, money, energy, constantly rehiring, retraining, getting frustrated, dealing with issues out in the field where your team is not performing. And it's very, very frustrating. And then you start actually believing this lie, which is a massive problem, that there aren't any good people out there, that they just do not exist.
Yeah, well, we hear that all the time, bro. Yeah. Big town, small town, you know, rural, city, it doesn't matter. Like, people always say, hey, look, there's no one out there, which is fundamentally not true, but you can see how people get to that point where they start believing it, and it's a slippery slope.
Well, that's their lived experience. Unfortunately, the strategy or lack of strategy is actually a big part of what's driving it. So that's what we need to get right.
100%. And obviously, if we do get this right, there's some pretty bright future.
Yeah, well, you do attract high performers consistently. You've got people wanting to work with you. They're excited to join your business. They feel like, you know, they've landed on the mothership. Your team will refer people as well. Like, you get that whole buzz of word of mouth marketing working for your hiring. It's the same as word of mouth marketing working for doing jobs. And you build a reputation as a great place to work. And hiring becomes a predictable and a not a stressful process. So you know you can find people when you need to. And you've got a great team. This is the thing. Your team, like I said, 70% of success is hiring the right people. You build a fantastic team who you can rely on, who can grow your business. You can take vacations. You can get away from the business. And it's actually a business.
Yeah.
And so you go from actually chasing staff to actually choosing staff because you've attracted the right people. So it's a very subtle, but it's very important shift.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's almost not even subtle, man. It's the kind of thing that I think people are really yearning for, right? So let's get into it, man. Where do we start with that?
I think the first thing is, you know, something we've talked a lot about is that hiring is actually a key part of your strategy. You know, because 70% of success is who you have, you've got to be quite strategic about this. So it's not just something you do when you need to. It's just not something you kind of do reactively. And because often you only do it a few times a year, you know, you've got to be better at it than that. So you've got to be proactive. And it's really about how do I become an employer of choice so that I can attract the right people to work in my business, because everything flows from people. So the thing here, I guess, is you have to actually invest time in it. You have to, rather than see it as, oh, that's something I've got to do, it's like, this is the most important thing that I do. It's the most important thing from a strategy perspective that can happen in my business.
I think when we talk about investing time in, I think that's a really important point. Like, because it's something you probably only do a few times a year, I think it's really easy to get into that mindset of, well, what it comes up and then I do it. But, you know, reality is if you're not practicing, if you're not spending time, you know, analyzing what you've done in the past and what you could do better, like whether it's the marketing side, looking at ads that have performed, or looking at, you know, what could be better in your ads, whether it's where you're putting it, you know, looking at whether or not that could be better, or whether it's the, you know, the process itself. Like, are you practicing interviewing? Are you role playing this with people? Are you practicing doing reference checks? Are you practicing making the offer? Like, actually practicing speaking to someone and saying, you know, hey, we're going to offer you the job and here's the details. Like, if you're not practicing this stuff, then you can't expect to nail it on game day. You know, I mean, if you look at anyone who's good at anything, they're good at it because they practice it. Whether it's sport, whether it's, you know, yourself, you're probably awesome on the tools and you might not think you practice, but you've got thousands and thousands of hours of practice. It was just in reality, over time you get good. If you want to be good at this off the bat, you have to practice. And I think a lot of people don't do that, but it's a real hidden weapon.
It's the practice, and it's also understanding that you need to build a brand, which is the work for hiring is actually not done when you need to hire.
Yeah.
It's all of the time. So that you're building a reputation in the marketplace as a great place to work. So that when you do need to hire, then you've cultivated the field, as it were, and you can actually seed and fruit some really good candidates because they've seen that, man, this looks like a great place.
But this is practice too. Like, if you think about it, like, you know, oh, I'm going to set out and build this great brand. It's like, have you looked at other brands and what makes them stand out? Have you practiced? You know, have you looked at what content you could put out? Have you practiced? Have you actually made any content before? Have you looked at, you know, the way that you actually interact with your team and practiced driving a good culture that's actually going to, you know, make you an employer of choice? Like, this is still all practice. It just looks different. And I think the key is a lot of the time we don't do any practice, and suddenly that moment comes up where we need someone, and then we just try to perform like as if it's, you know, a World Cup final of something.
Yeah.
Only we've never practiced in our life, which would be crazy, right?
Yeah. And I think the key distinction here, when you shift from trying to find people and chase them to attracting the right people, is if you only think about hiring when you need a person, you're not building a brand, you're not being strategic about it. Hiring needs to be at front of mind all the time, because everything you do that people can see in your business is about building a brand, you know, that can potentially create the environment for great people to want to work with you. So it's having that broad perspective that everything you do actually counts here, not just what happens when, hey, someone's left, I need someone, or I think I need someone else, let's do something now. So that's the key distinction. It's a strategic thing that you're really focusing on all the time.
Yeah, 100%. Well, shall we start with marketing, man?
Yeah, I think the thing is, the most important marketing you ever do is actually marketing, you know, marketing to hire people.
Yeah.
And your job ad and that particular process is the most important ad you ever run. So it's critical to be able to create a job ad that is killer. It's not just a checklist. It's not something that you just copy. You know, you don't just go onto one of the, you know, go onto Indeed and just copy all the ads that you see and maybe mash them together. Maybe you use Chat or Claude to mash them together or whatever. You really want to create an ad that is, you know, offering benefits, that puts you in a great light, that people can see why they need to come and work with you, because that ad has got a good hook, a good opportunity, it's different to other ads. You know, you have to have a point of difference in this marketplace because the market for talent is actually pretty fierce.
Well, dude, you went pretty quick over that, but I think the key is like some stuff you mentioned, like has a strong hook, has a clear opportunity, has differentiation. There's a call to action. Like this needs to be a copywritten ad the same way you would write a piece of copy for marketing. And I think a lot of the time if you see job ads on the likes of Indeed or Craigslist, Gumtree, you know, wherever you are, the reality is it says something like this: electrician wanted, we do large commercial projects, brief list of the type of work that you'll be doing, and then like inquire within, and no email address or phone number. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy. Yeah. Like, that's not an ad. It's just like a little list of tasks the person will do.
Yeah, most of those ads also have this is what we need from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yada yada yada.
Yeah, you need to have this qualification. Yeah, yeah, you need to have your own tools, and you need
to be hardworking. Yada yada. Yeah. Nothing about what's in it for the potential employee, which is the most important thing, which is what the hook is about, which is what should be at the start of the ad.
Yeah.
Not just all about you. The ad actually has to be all about the person you're trying to hire.
Yeah.
Which is a subtle difference. And unfortunately, you know, we're so focused on what we're doing with our work, sometimes we're like, well, they'll be lucky to get a job with us. You know, it's like, yeah, it's kind of we actually do need to go and sell this. It's very, very important.
Yeah. And so I think one of the key differences here is actually deciding right at the start, before you actually write this ad, deciding this is a piece of marketing. It's not a job wanted post. It's a very different mindset, and then the way that that ad will be written is completely different. And hey, look, I understand a lot of people listening, you'd be like, well, I'm not a marketer. Like, I don't know much about copywriting. I'm like, well, guess what? This used to be a lot harder, and obviously we give our members, like, you know, templates and examples and things that they can use. But, I mean, nowadays with things like ChatGPT, you know, like, I mean, dude, like, you can whip one of these up pretty well, pretty quick. But I think one of the sort of pitfalls I see happen is someone will use a tool like that or even use one of our templates, and they'll see a lot of the marketing style copy in there where you're pushing on a pain point. You're calling out, you know, a problem they may be having, driving that, offering a benefit, you know, and this is written to actually attract someone, and they think, I wouldn't talk like that.
That sounds cheesy.
Yeah, and they take it out. And unfortunately, like, that's the part that works. That's the part that matters. That's the part that gets people not just interested but bought in, where they really, really want this. And so I think it makes a big difference. I mean, and again, having differentiation, as you mentioned as well, like, this needs to stand out as an ad. If it's the same as everybody else's, it doesn't work. I remember I had a flat that I lived in when I was a lot younger, and we used to, whenever we had flatmate wanted, it was not flatmate wanted, it's, we'd say things to stand out, like, you must have a helicopter, supermodel friends, and you know, be able to quote from the movie The Castle, and if you can't, you need not apply. And a lot of people would apply, and they said, I don't have a helicopter or supermodel friends, but, like, man, I could quote from The Castle. And it was like, the point is, it stood out. Like, and I think you have to have that point of differentiation, or you just get lost in the masses, really.
Yeah, it's massive. And so the marketing is critical, but then the sales is also important. So this is a sales process. Now, obviously, you're assessing them and you're figuring out if they're any good, but let me tell you for sure, they are checking you out.
Of course.
And so you have to run a sales process that, you know, convinces them that this is a fantastic place to work. So the whole process, right from when they apply to when you do your screening interview to when you do your face-to-face interview to when you maybe get them out in the field to see how they roll, that's all sales. And so you've got to be professional. You've got to, you know, do a great job with that so that you look different. You know, we want them basically to go, wow, I've never had an experience applying for a job like this. This is just next level. It's very professional. It's
fast.
This is
an important point, just quick, Tony, is it just to remember, sales is not sucking up. Sales is not trying to, like, convince them by smooth talking or saying, hey, by the way, it's great to work here. That's not it. It's demonstrating how slick you are so that they can see this is what it's going to be like to work here. And that's actually how the sale gets made. So, sorry, continue.
Yeah. It's about being professional. So fast comms, structured interviews, clear expectations, great follow-up, polished onboarding, practicing this. You know, make sure you practice the interview process before you do it. Because let's be honest, most contractors and tradies, their hiring process is chaotic. And it's not that professional, and it's actually not that impressive. So even if you do this to a B+ standard, you're going to stand out way above most people. Hmm. And if you keep practicing and you get to an A+, you'll crush here, because people will never have had an experience like this, and they're like, man, I need to work here because these guys are professional.
Yeah, well, subconsciously, as humans, we know that as you are in small things, you are in everything. And so those small things like fast comms, professionalism, you know, following up, being structured, having a process, all of these are small cues that make a huge difference in the mindset of the person applying, because what you're showing them is, we've got this dialed in. We are really, really good at what we do, and we are slick. And that does such a great job of selling them on, wow, I need to work here because things are going to be awesome. So I think, again, it's a mindset start.
Yeah, well, even this is a little gold nugget, you know. Have company values and talk about those in your recruitment process and really dial down on those and explain those to your, you know, potential employees, because most people won't do that. And they'll be like, wow, I've never had someone talk about the values that are important for working here. And the right people, that already resonate with them, and they'll be like, this is the place I need to be.
Not to mention that you can really gauge people during this. So obviously you're selling them when you're talking about the values, but you're also assessing them, right? So if you start talking about your values and you see the eyes glaze over, or I don't know, they hesitate, or they're balking a little bit, or they're shying away, then it's like, you know, even when they tell you, no, I'm totally on board with all that, like, you know, this person's probably not a fit. So I think, like, this is a crucial part of your hiring process, is going into those values. Personally, like, at PT, we have a three-stage interview process, and we talk about the values in all three stages. And the reason is because by the end, we totally know if they're going to be a fit with these values. We've assessed that. But also, they know we're serious about this. Like, this is actually what it's like to work here, and we are going to, you know, follow through, which is also a massive sell to them, because they're like, not only do I resonate with these values, but I know these are not just stuck on the wall or printed in a handbook. This is actually what it's going to be like. And these people, you know, stick to what they say, which is obviously very powerful.
It is. So you've got the marketing, the sales, and what we want to do is actually build a hiring brand, which is effectively, you know, how are we the employer of choice and how are we showing people that? And that's what you do all the time. So what do people think, you know, when they hear your company name? How do you look from the outside, you know, the professionalism, the organization? Are you growing? Do you have high standards? Because the top performers, they don't want to join messy businesses, and they're really impressed by businesses that look fantastic. We all are. We all want to work where it's all happening, right?
Yeah.
And if you walk down the strip of restaurants, and there's five restaurants, and two of them are full and three of them are empty, Where do you want to eat?
Well, I mean, it depends. Are you a loser?
Well, I don't know, mate. Are you?
I mean, do you like bad food and bad service? I mean, probably not. So you go to the ones that are packed, right? Like,
always go to the ones that are packed. You'll line up to go to the ones that are packed, because that's the same with, you know, with joining a company.
Yeah.
And here's the thing today. We've got this unbelievable opportunity with technology to build this brand. And so your social media work should be as much about attracting the right employees as it is about attracting the right jobs. And so that means, what am I doing so that other potential employees can see that this is an incredible place to work? And this is massive. So, you know, just some examples. You can do profiles on your team. You can do the jobs you're working on. You can talk about the training opportunities that you're giving people. You can talk about the professional development you give them. You can talk about the milestones they have in their life or in their work life. There's a whole bunch of stuff. You can have awards that you give the team, you know, that you do. So we have landscapers. You can have like the Golden Shovel Award that gets awarded every month. And so they put that on their socials.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of stuff you can do.
We've got electricians who give out the golden pliers. By the way, just, you know, common tool you use, make it golden. Hey, Presto, you got a great award.
That's exactly right. That's just really powerful. You can have testimonials from clients. Like, all that stuff is really fantastic for building your hiring brand.
I think also on top of that is, you know, in your socials in particular, is like the content that you make in your socials, you know, call out stuff that is really showing what it's like to work there and the standards that you hold and what you believe in, what you're all about, because this all gives you a brand personality. So, I mean, like, I know stuff that you've done a lot of, Tony, is like, you know, talking about standards that we hold in our socials, you know, talking about, you know, lazy attitudes and how we don't accept that, you know, talking about how we do things here. I think things like this really do, you know, cut through, because if I'm thinking about working for someone and I'm seeing their content really like holding a high standard, being very professional, sticking to their values, you know, nailing what they do, it's like, this is stuff where I'm like, I want to be part of that, because end of the day, we all want to play on the winning team. Like, if you think about sport, which I think is always a great analogy when it comes to team building, no one wants to join a sports club that loses every week. No one. It doesn't matter. Like, the best players never play on the worst teams unless they get traded there and can't help it. And even then, they'll try to get out of that trade. Whereas on the other hand, like, people that are really happy in their team are usually on winning teams. So when you're demonstrating in your branding, we are a winning team. You know, we have high standards and we hit them all the time and we crush it. And then you're giving that credit to the team. It's not, hey, I'm awesome, that my business is awesome. It's, this team is awesome. We get shit done. Like, that's a really attractive thing to be part of because everyone wants to be in that winning side.
Yeah.
I think it's crucial.
I think that dials into a theme here. If you want to attract the right people, you have to create desire. And you do that by, you know, showing that it's a winning team is incredibly powerful. It's like winners are always happier. The research just shows that. Yep.
Yeah.
It's about showing that there's strong leadership in the business. People are attracted to that. It's showing that there's pride in the work that's done. And one thing that's super important is showing people that there's growth opportunities for them in this business. You know, that there's brightness of future, that they can progress here. Because the winners want that, they need it, and you have to provide it to them. Number one, to attract them, and number two, to retain them.
Yeah.
So you've got to create desire, and that's not just about the job offer, that's about the whole brand that you build. Yeah, being the employer of choice, people can see how you roll. All those things we talked about, posting in social media, that's how you do it. You've got to create that desire. So that's really a strategy thing.
Yeah.
You're thinking about all the time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, when they're trying to create that desire, they're going to default to trying to show off the fun. And don't get me wrong, you want to show off the fun. People want to work in a fun environment too. They want to enjoy coming to work. So, you know, if you're demonstrating the banter, the culture, the laughs, the fun days, the barbecues, you know, the team activities, like, all of this stuff is really, really powerful and it does make a difference. But I think where we often go wrong is that we're marketing the fun, but we're not marketing the performance. And the reality is people want to have a great time while winning. You know, they don't want to have a great time and still lose.
Well, I'll jump in there. The A players want to have a great time and win. And that's who you want to attract. That's really important. Because some
key
of the,
distinction.
Yeah,
because
some
the
of the losers
that
aren't that interested in the performing.
No, they just want the fun. They want to come to work and be given stuff.
Pretty
and,
much. They
and
do.
Have
that's,
a great
that's,
time
that's
for nothing.
They do. They just want to take the mickey, really.
Yeah, and that's not what we're about here. So if you want those A players, like, you've got to have the winning too. I think that's absolutely crucial. So let's talk about the offer, man. I think, like, the big thing as well is that you finally got through all of this. You've done your marketing. You've gone through your process. You've sold the job. You've demonstrated what it's like to work here. All of this has come off the back of some great branding. This person should be, you know, chomping at the bit. They're ready. They're keen. But you can still ruin this with a weak offer. And I think the really key thing with this is, like, firstly, just know how you're going to offer it. Actually have a script for this. I think a lot of the time we under-prepare for this because we think the job offer is easy, right? I just say, hey, by the way, you got the job. And they'll say, great. And you'll shake hands and they'll sign some paperwork and, hey, it's all done. But I think if you've done much hiring, what you know is that there are times when you're going to say, hey, man, you got the job. And they'll say, oh, okay, cool. Like, and then you send them the paperwork and you kind of don't hear back for a few days. And then you follow them up and finally they say, oh, look, man, actually, I'm going to stay at my current employer. And you had that fish on the hook and you lost it. And so I think, you know, the strength of that offer is very important. So firstly, have everything ready. Like, nothing worse than saying, hey, man, you got the job. I'll draw up the paperwork and send it over to you in a couple of days. You need to strike while the iron's hot. Have the paperwork ready right there. Now, obviously, if earlier in your process you've already confirmed when they could start, you've already confirmed what the pay will be, you've already confirmed the benefits and all that, you can have this all written up in a contract. And when you make that offer, you can put it in front of them right there. Now, obviously, in this case, they can go away and give that a look, but they've got it already, and that's going to really drastically increase your chance of actually, you know, keeping that fish in the boat, so to speak. Next thing is that you got to make sure that that offer is said in a way where it's like, hey, look, we are really, really excited to make this offer to you, but you're not begging them to come either. And, like, this is a careful balance, but it's got to be, hey, we're super excited to take you on board. This is going to be great. Here's your paperwork. I know you said you could start on this day. We're still good with that. Yep, cool. All right, you get this back to me by tomorrow and we can get onboarding underway. So it's not, please, please, please sign this as soon as possible. You know, like, you got to get that balance right. And then lastly, just make sure you've met their expectations. So I think one big thing as well is we can sometimes talk about expectations earlier in that process and then we kind of forget, like, you didn't make a note or anything. They might have asked for one pay range and maybe you're going to offer them something else because you forgot. I'm like, make sure you get it right. So then that way, when they get that offer, they're super, super stoked. And then if they haven't got it back to you within a day, follow up immediately. Don't wait weeks. Don't even wait days. One day, follow up. Hey, man, how are you going with that paperwork? Let's get it back. Keen to lock in your start date and start sending you all of your onboarding kit. I think it's speed is really one of the biggest keys there. The faster you are, the more likely you keep them.
I think the key point here is you could be very professional the whole way through and drop the ball at the end by not being organized and on point, and that just is not a good look. And so you can jeopardize the whole thing. So carry that professionalism right the way through. And I think a key theme here to attracting the right people is that you've got to make sure that you just don't ever hire out of desperation. You don't hire just out of availability. You don't compromise standards, and you don't do things like, I think I can make them better, or I hope they'll improve. Because if you don't set the bar high, you might hire this person, but that's going to damage your ability to attract the winners in the future. Because if you have a B player on an A team, that drags the culture down.
Yeah.
You've now got an average of a bunch of A's and a B, so the average is less.
Yeah.
And that's going to affect your ability to attract the right people in the future. And so you've got to be very strategic thinking about that long term, because as we've said, you know, nothing destroys a good employee faster than watching you tolerate a bad one, and this is what it'll do to your team. So that's absolutely critical.
Totally.
I know it's tough, but you've got to do it if you want to win at hiring.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key, man. Like, everybody wants to be on the winning team, but no one wants to be the one carrying the winning result. Like, if it's all on you, you're the best person by far, and you're the only reason the team is winning, that burden is not only a burden in terms of, like, it's annoying and it's tough, it's also frustrating. You just end up not enjoying the place. You won't be an employer of choice. You won't get referrals. Whereas if everyone's a winner, you've held that standard, everyone's an A player, then it's an amazing place to work. And not only will that be very attractive, but it will also push a bunch of referrals, because A players are like, man, this is great, let's bring on more A players. So it kind of feeds on itself. Anyway, we've said some great stuff. Let's land this plane.
Alrighty. The secret to hiring great people, it isn't luck. It's building a business and a process that great people can't ignore. Now, because when you market well and you sell it properly, you don't chase talent, you attract talent.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of The Profitable Tradie Podcast.